You know Roger Mark is not here. This is not here. This is not here. Or here. Mr. Truman Rhodes here. So is his lovely wife Linda. We're going to let him speak the word first.
I bet I saw someone that had a film last night, y'all didn't see. I saw a big Kushaw pie sitting on the table. You know what a Kushaw is? Some of you do. Kushaw's a big, long, gooseneck looking, red, green striping squash. Some of them get to be huge. My mother makes the best Kushaw pie you ever put in your mouth. They're kind of yellowish looking. Not brown, but yellowish looking. They're delicious. A lot of people don't like them, but I do. Anyway, well, today's another day. Kind of sad this is the end of mine. I'm getting fired after today. I was wondering what I was going to speak on today, but it came to me about Wednesday. And it's not throwing rocks at nobody. Timely monitor gives courage, stunned thankfulness. True story I'm going to talk to you about this morning a little bit. I ain't going to talk long this morning. My voice, I don't know what's going on with it, but the last several months wants to give out on me, so hopefully I can get through it this morning. Thank you, Mark. You did a beautiful job, as usual. When you're not here, you're missed. You know that.
My voice ain't much better.
And if Roger's not here, you can go on down in.
Make him sing.
That'd be a laughing joke. Now, Reverend, he's got a good voice also. I'm appalled at how music talented one of y'all are. What beautiful notes you can make. I can't sing a song Caledown on anymore. You should have a decent voice. But that's kind of gone away too. But anyway, glad to be here again. This morning I'm going to talk about Malachi, the Old Testament, actually the last book in the Old Testament. Start in the third chapter at the sixth verse. It said, robbing God. I know you've heard his message many times, but we're going to a little bit different swing maybe on this morning. It says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. For ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, said the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not be able to enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruits, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nation will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, if you don't mean it, and even those who challenge God's escape. May God bless the reading of his word. So let's look at this passage for a minute. God's patience seems endless. Throughout history, his people has disobeyed and even scorned his laws. But he has always been willing to accept them back. Here, however, the people have the nerve to imply that they never disobeyed. How will we return? Many people have turned their backs on forgiveness and restoration because they have refused to admit their sins. Don't follow their example. God is ready to return to us if we are willing to return to Him. If you remember when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, remember all that long story? All the things that the Israelite people were supposed to do to be faithful to God, all the sacrifices and everything. But then we learned that two of Aaron's brothers offered a sacrifice, but they did it according to the law. What happened? They got burned up. They were destroyed immediately. So, you know, we got laws to follow today. We got laws to drive the highways. We got laws of the land. But, you know, it's a time of year where we're bombarded asking for something to give. Here, we got three or four things going this morning. And our church, we got a dozen sitting right. I told somebody a while ago, I got an envelope this week about that thick. Well, I never heard it. Open up all kinds of envelopes. You give so much money, do this. Do so much, you'll do that. You can't give to everything. But we have to give because it hurts, and it's hard to do. So, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, he says. Yes, we rob God when we don't give Him of ourselves, we don't give Him our tithes, we don't give our time. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Well, you know, it's not so bad to think a tithe of 10 cents of a dollar. 10 cents a dollar don't seem like much money. A dollar, 10% of $10 don't seem like much money. 10% of $100 is $10. That don't seem like much money. Wait a minute, God. 10% of $500 is $50. 10% of $1,000 is $100. Now, wait a minute. I've got bills to pay. What do you think?
Government takes more.
You know, you think about in those terms, 10 cents don't sound too bad, but you take $100 out of $1,000, that's a whole lot of money. We get thinking, well, that leaves me $900. Need it all. Maybe I'll just skip the tithe this month. So yeah, we rob God. Yet, he said, you are cursed with a curse, for you rob me, even the whole nation. Someone asked, where's everybody today? We rob God with every town. Not only this church, every church. Our church, we only had like 90 last Sunday. 58 Sunday school. That's unheard of for our church. So what's going on? Well, somebody said iPads, television, ball games. Well, I can understand last week Thanksgiving, a lot of people's gone to families. That's understandable. So I hope everybody took time this past week. Thank God for what happened. We've been blessed. You know, we've been blessed immensely. We sat down to a meal fit for the king. Of course, I told her it wasn't fit for the king, but she let me know real quick it was. 30 years we've been traveling Fulton, Kentucky. Linda's sister died 30 years ago. So this 30th year we made this trip. On Thanksgiving we celebrate Thanksgiving, then we have Christmas at night, Thanksgiving night. So we do it all on one trip. 4.5 hours and over, you might say. But anyway, we thank God for the opportunity of being together. And that's what life is all about. God put us here to be thankful. I want more to know to be thankful for God. So, yes, Malachi urges the people to stop holding back their tithes. Stop keeping from God what He deserved. Verses 8 through 12, I believe, Mark. Larry. The tithing system was done during Moses' time, if you remember. The Levites received some of the tithes because they could not possess land that they owned. See what happened? Levites could not own property. They couldn't tithe. They didn't have a way to make a living. So they brought tithes into the storehouse to help Levites, and they also gave 10% of that as well. So yes, they brought food into the storehouse. We can see here, because you robbed me, so bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that they might be full in my house. See, the priest then didn't have a way to make a living. They depended upon people. That's why we pay pastors and preachers today, because they have no other job. Once you look at your situation, Brother Wesley did have another job. He's got a vocation. You see that more often because in reality, churches can't pay a pastor enough money to live. And that's really sad because, you know, as I said a minute ago, we hit every way we go nowadays. Give this, give that, you know. You got WHS Crusade for Children. You mentioned here this morning. Great, great, great place to give you money. You got St. Jude, another great place to give money. You've got heart. You've got cancer. Four big organizations right here among us where it really helps people. You got cancer. I think I mentioned cancer. Cancer treatment's come a long ways now, but they couldn't without your help. But God's plan cannot be going on either without your help. 5% takes more than 5%. It takes 10% and then some. Give to others. So when we refuse to return to Him a part of what He has given us, we rob Him. Do you selfishly want to keep 100% of what God gives? Or are you willing to return His 10% so you help advance God's kingdom? He said, I received this from Linda's sister this week. It came from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I want you to listen to this. This true story, by the way. It's a little lengthy, but I want to read it because I might miss some points. There's a question loomed larger and larger in the news that her job was about to end. I've heard that the job about to end, last paycheck comes. Would she be all in with her promise to faithfully tithe from her very last paycheck? Or would pending an already overstretched budget be reason enough not to give one? 10th this month. But the question the 40-year-old sometime had to ponder. Often, officially single after a 20-year marriage and with teenage children to consider, it seemed logical to hold on to every cent. Already, the Seattle area professor was accessing the food bank at the church and pulling cash from IRA to survive. Sure, we've all been in this situation. I rationalized that God would understand, Kathy Fisher said as she reflected on her finances, unknowing what she was facing. He knows my situation, and that I would make up to Him once I know what's happening in the next month ahead. But was that really her original intention when she told God she was all in when she renewed her relationship with Christ? The Bible she had begun to study months earlier had a lot to say about giving back to God. Because, you know, everything we got belongs to Him. I mean, I don't care what it is. Everything belonged to Him. Without Him, we wouldn't have nothing. She said, sometime Kathy said, I've never done while she and her husband lives on a combined household income of $250,000 a year. She never tithed. Her rationale was, I'm so sick to admit that we probably gave the least than we ever did, said Kathy. With regret, she remembered the many toys, the big home, the properties they enjoyed that they had to maintain. We thought we couldn't afford to give 10%. Now, in the leanest time so far, with Thanksgiving and Christmas just around the corner, she had to ask herself whether she would step out on faith again, trusting God to provide. Without a job, not knowing where she and her daughter would be living next month, weighed heavily on her faith. You know, that's kind of tough. But you know, the scripture said that God will, if we trust Him, He will open the floodgates. Then, I stopped myself right in the middle of it, it said, it's petite. Brunette, remembering the moment, and I said out loud, now, no, I'm going to trust God with this. I am all in, and I mean it. I'm doing this. It's a tough decision. Kathy and Mia wrote a check for her $265 tithe for the gross income of her last check. Well, that's not the end of it. So I didn't calculate anything because I knew it would add up and only stress me out. Struggling mom said about her budget. I prayed out loud, Jesus, I trust you. Please have this little bit serve you in the best way. And please get me through this month. Here's where it really gets interesting. Shortly thereafter, a letter came from an attorney. Kathy knew that there could be maybe a few $100 left from what she had set aside for the divorce proceedings. However, there was also a possibility that additional paperwork may have incurred much more. We had a friend just went through a serious divorce after 17 years. didn't know a thing was wrong. Day before, they went out and had a good time. Next day, she said, I'm on a divorce. Unreal. Unreal what could take place. I mean, we today don't understand what happened. So anyways, however, there was a possibility that maybe additional paperwork was incurred more cost. So I prayed before opening it that would give me grace with whatever was in the envelope. She said, I found a check for $2,900. This was three times the amount she thought would be in the account after seeing the previous statement, and now enough to get her through another month's living expenses. Once again, Kathy knew God had blessed her, and she wrote a check for 10% tithe of $2,900 to her church. But then she felt a nudge to give more out of her abundance. I felt God strongly told me to share his gift with some friends I had been praying for, Kathy explained. I knew that they were in a very dark situation in their lives. The husband was losing his faith. So Kathy decided to give the married couple $200. But then she felt a message from God, saying, should be $165, not $200. Why $165? Kathy had wondered. She would have to give $250, but the thought kept coming back, all of his need was $165. She said, I was lying there in bed one morning going, why $165, God? That's weird. She was bewildered. I'm willing to give him more. How about? Then I felt strongly his telling me again, $165 to do it. Remember I read earlier that the husband losing his faith because they had a dark, hard time? So Kathy penned the letter explaining the money that was from God included in the check. I knew I was supposed to tell them that he is hearing their prayers. He knows what's happened to them, and then he is there with them, Kathy said about the message. A few days later, an envelope addressed to her friends arrived in their destined mailbox. It said unopened by the couple priced two tires of desperate need and couldn't afford them. May you get the picture. So then, remember, the mail had not been picked up for a couple days. Kathy's friends discovered her letter in the gift. Stunned, they stared, disbelieving, at the mail check of $165. They just got a quote the day before, $164.52, two tires. Without a doubt, Kathy had learned that when we're all in with God, his abundant blessings pour out on others too. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be room enough to store it. I've been there. Not on the giving side, but on the receiving side from God. Linda and I went for over a year without meat to eat. It's tough. Went for a garden, we starved to death. My mother knew it. She'd come through sausage, meat, a couple of times a month for us. She never said to him she knew he was having trouble. We didn't tell her. We had too much pride to tell her. Hey, Mom, I'm having it tough. Three jobs one year. But the jobs I had leading up to what we would have, we were blessed later. Didn't understand what was happening. But then we understood, by the way, I can start talking to you and I want to cry. I haven't had a problem lately. At least then they want to cry. I think that's my wife. I always said they've been crying and they've been crying ever since. That's right, Mark.
It's another song I ever said, Mom's Numbers.
But honestly, you can't outgive God. I can tell you story of stories happen to us. You cannot outgive God. So don't cheat God. I'm not saying test him. Don't test God. You don't do that. On Friday after Thanksgiving, we had a long talk with this young lady. I'm not going to tell you who she is. Her husband's really struggling now because her son died. I'm not going to tell you how. It's So he's mad at God. Oh, he's so mad at God. And this young lady's having trouble with him because actually she's almost been shut out of his life because he is so mad at God. So we had a little talk with her. Hopefully we helped. So God uses in all kinds, and I don't have a weak limb, and I do not have a special gift to help people through eternal walls, but we do our best what God's given us. So there's all kinds of ways you can help God through whatever you have to do. Talk to people. Best thing is love them and encourage them. Encourage them, friends. God goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. So what does it mean by fruit? The vine's not casting the fruit. You know what that means? A lot of times, You okay? You okay? Can you get your breath? Now she got a breath. Thank you, Lord, for keeping her safe. It says, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord of God Almighty. So God says, I will open up the gates of heaven and give you everything you ever possible, more than you can even store up, if you just come back to me. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out His requirement and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? So these verses describe the people's arrogant attitude toward God. When we ask, what good does it do to serve God? We're really asking selfishly. We're really asking the real question, what good does it do to obey God? We must serve God just because He is God, deserves to be served. That's why we should serve God, because He deserves to be served. God, remember those who remain faithful to Him and who loves Him. Fear, honor, respect. You know, talked about the evil people who don't give nothing to God. We give and give and give and want to give anything from Him. We may not get our rewards here, but we'll get our rewards later. They've also, once you've done give, will get their just rewards. So that's why it's important to give. I want to catch a man and not a doom buggy. But now we call the arrogant blessed, certainly the evil those prosper, and even those who challenge God's escape. Yes, people challenge God every way possible. It seems like they always get by with it. Linda asked me several times, and I've even questioned myself. Why does evil people seem like they're blessed? Not for us to know. Not for us to know. But God bless us all so richly, and they'll be here this morning. I appreciate y'all putting up with me for 3 Sundays. Huh?
What
can
I like?
Man, like? Would you do me a favor, tell Brother Roger that?
Oh, I feel the problem. Well, he needs to take more time.
I guess one of my ex-friends called me Thanksgiving morning and headed down to Washington County Parkway, and he said, hey, Truman, eat ham today. I said, why? Because you're a turkey. So I called him ex-friends. You get that? So.
What do you get
a
turkey for Thanksgiving?
Brother Roger called and said, how you doing? I said, well, better. I was doing better to you talk to him. He said, okay, don't start on me now, Truman. I called to check on the attitude. I said, how's yours? He said, mine's good. So I started talking to you. So we're supposed to call you good, true friends. God bless you and bless this church.